Hey guys, this is MBM Waltz. Welcome to today's episode. We have our co-host, Jace Carey, with us.
Hello.
Hi, Jace.
Hello.
How's your Friday?
It is good. It has been busy all day, but it's sunny out, so I have some serotonin, and I've had a pretty decent amount of coffee. So
that's good, because we're going to be covering some topics, right, for music.
Absolutely. But first, how's your Friday been?
My Friday's been exciting so far. So it's New Music Friday for me. I just put out a new song. It's called Symphony. And a lot of people are liking it so far. So it's been good.
How do I find this on Spotify?
You just search Symphony by Noid, or the Symphony and Noid, and you'll find it. Or just search my name, Noid, and it will show up.
Okay, cool. I will add it to my playlist of the week.
Thank you. That means a lot, you know.
So, Parth, what are we going to talk about today?
There are a lot of things to talk about. Do you want to talk about Donda 2?
Donda 2. Ah, yes. Ye. Kanye? Kanye?
Kanye? Kanye?
So, yeah, that song. What's it called? I don't remember what it's called.
Easy.
Easy. The one where he wants to fight Pete Davidson. I think that is peak music drama. I'm invested. I'd know nothing about Pete
Davidson. Me too.
I know nothing about Kim Kardashian. And I know very little about Kanye West. So being invested in this weird situation has given me a lot of things to think about that I've never thought about before.
What do you think of the song itself?
I think it's good. Like, I like it more than I like a lot of songs on Donda.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more to my taste. Some of the lyrics are like, yeah, man, you should maybe go see a therapist.
Yeah.
You know, it's a Kanye song.
It's a Kanye song. It's fun to listen to Kanye in general. What were your thoughts on Donda? Like, did you like it? I really liked it.
I liked it as like an artistic movement. Like, I love concept albums. I was a little put off when I first heard Donda chant for the first time, because I was like, what is this?
Donda. Donda.
Donda. Donda. Donda. But yeah, when I found out like the whole story behind it, I was very interested. I was like, oh, it's your mom's name and heartbeats. That's so
sad. That is sad. And I mean, it's like things like that that makes a concept album, because like, you're as an artist, you are taking a risk making it the first song of the album, right? But you have to realize how much it means to the artist, and that's the reason why they're doing it. And I think that was really inspirational to me.
Like, the whole album was a risk, being like 2 hours long. That's unheard of these days, especially
like 32 songs.
Yeah,
a lot of songs,
especially in a world of singles.
So
when that dropped in like complete top of the charts, not to mention CLB, but like,
I hate the fact people are like comparing it to CLB. I didn't really like CLB, but I think Donda was like really a piece of art, because you know, there are like so many production choices, and like Kanye, I think he is in the top of his game, and he's been putting out good songs for a while now. So I'm like really excited for Donda too. It's like, what is gonna do next? Like, what concept or what story is he gonna try to tell? Is he gonna try to complete the story, or is he gonna try something new? It's like, I'm really excited for that.
Same. I like, every time I hear the new Kanye album is out, I like reserve myself the amount of time that the album is to sit in the bathtub and just like listen to it with no distractions.
Oh, that sounds like a good time.
Really was. But my goal for whenever this happens, as soon as Kanye announces like a stadium tour, I'm assuming he's doing, or an arena tour, I'm going to buy tickets.
Really? Then we're going together.
Okay.
I don't care what it is.
Okay.
We're singing Kanye's lyrics out loud. I don't care.
I'm so interested in his stage production. I feel like I've gotten into this before. I got into this earlier with
Dylan,
but same person, same amazingness, and I'm still a nerd. So
same creativity, like, you know, and like with that, you know, these big artists have a lot of budget to like do pull off crazy things. That's why like sometimes I listen to like mainstream artists, because they have a lot of budget to like pull off crazy things, and like I love when they do that. Like, you know, that just makes people want a little bit more, you know, as an artist.
You know what I'm really excited for? When there's a new 21 Pilots album.
When is it coming out?
I have no idea. Haven't heard a single thing, which is sad. But the concepts from like Trench to Scaled and Icy, those connect. So I want to see where the story goes from there. And then like their live shows are insane. I've seen them twice. And I want to see how that all comes together to make their show.
That's pretty interesting. I feel like we're in a good time for like a lot of good music coming out, because it's like 2022, right? And I think Weeknd dropped his album, then Gunna dropped his album, and like there's a lot of music coming out, and you know, there's a lot of creative music coming out, like something you've never heard before, which is like really exciting. You know, when someone tries something new, it's always so exciting. I think 2022 is going to be a great year for music in general. I think a lot of talented artists are like just coming out, releasing new type of music, and the norms that we usually had are like kind of been broken now, and people are like discovering new things even while they're signed to a label. So I don't know, future looks bright for music, right?
Absolutely. Speaking of The Weeknd's new album, that's another concept album
that
blew my mind when I listened to it.
I mean, like the first time I listened to it, I was like, what, you can do this? You know, like the transitions from one song to the other, to like, you know, Jim Carrey's like narration of being this radio host. It was like, wow.
Yeah, I was like, the whole time I was like, this is The Weeknd? This is pop music? This is one of the biggest artists in the world doing something that I love so much. Like,
and that's the thing, he didn't have to. Like, he's at such a big level. Like, if he just like dropped another album, like it would still do good. But the fact that he was willing to like go in a creative direction and like try something new was, I mean, which is still a risk, you know. That radio hosting kind of reduces the single power of the album, but at the same time, as a concept, as a whole album, it's like so unique. And that's again what I love when artists do something like that.
I feel like all of these concepts and all of these stories have to just come out of boredom, right? Because these artists have been touring so much for so long. They finally had time to sit and think and like craft such like an intricate world between the music and the branding of it.
Yeah.
Like there's so much thought and intention put into
it. And I mean, you can listen how introspective that album is, you know, it talks about life and death and all that kind of spiritual stuff, which, you mean, from an artist like The Weeknd, is like, I wasn't expecting it. And, you know, there was a lot of upbeat songs in the album as well, which I found like was really cool for him to explore. So yeah, it was pretty interesting.
If you had to have like one artist right now that hasn't done it already release like a concept album, who would it be, and like, what would you want them to talk about?
Does Taylor Swift have a concept album?
I don't know. I don't know a lot about it. Taylor Swift, don't cancel me, world.
I don't either, but I mean, that would be interesting. Like, she's one of the artists that I really respect. Even though I don't listen to her a lot, I think her music is great. So that would be interesting to see if like she tries a concept album, because, you know, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, and her songwriting, like writing characters and like building
this
world would be out of this world, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, I think she's like one of the best songwriters out there, period. I think she has great songwriting skills, and yeah, I mean, people need to like give her more credit for the songwriting part. I think that was great.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Like every Taylor Swift song I've heard, except maybe Me with Brendan Urie from Francisco, has blown my mind with just like every part of it. And the fact
Did you like the last album she put out? Because that was like one of my favorites.
The last like full album or like the last re-release?
The full album.
If I'm honest, I didn't listen to it.
You did? Oh, it's a great listen. You'll love it. I love her voice. I love her songwriting. It's just, I think that's one album I've listened to the most that out of all the albums Taylor Swift has released, and I think it's like some of her best work so far.
That's fair. I was a big fan of her back in the day, like Fearless Taylor Swift, and then it kind of fizzled out, but I respect her so much as an artist. And every time I hear like one of her singles, I'm like, yeah, I understand why people love this so much.
And it's also her personality. She's like just an amazing person, period, you know? And that's what like some of the fans like to see, you know, a genuine person, you know?
Yeah, she's another artist that took massive risks this year. Last year, whenever she re-released the last album, with her single being All Too Well, and that being a 10-minute long single, and it going to like the top of the charts, like
wow, I need to listen to that just because you now mentioned it. It's like a 10-minute single.
Yeah, and it was like number one. Like these artists right now are completely deconstructing what we know as radio singles and what we know.
Yeah.
The formula of pop music, and it is so exciting to listen to and like see happen.
It's like pop music is changing, and it's kind of like a new definition of pop music, you know, like what's popular when someone does something new, you know, or if someone releases a concept album. That's where I would like this industry to go, honestly. You know, what's pop is something new, you know. That's never been done before.
And like, I'm loving the storytelling aspect as if music away from that for a while. But back to like the nostalgia and the reflection in songs these days, I feel like it opens the doors for other people to reflect on that as well.
Yeah, for sure it does. And I mean, that's what music should do, aim to do, you know? And I think that's what connects you to people, to music, you know, when they can relate to something. And I think, and when it like transforms you to a different person or a new person, even just for a while, I think it's a big impact that music has had on people.
Mm-hmm. And I think like, as the narrative shifts in pop music away from like, what I want to call like clubby anthems,
to, yeah, like,
introspection and like,
yeah,
being a true reflection of who you are, that's going to inspire artists to release things that maybe they haven't
more personal
thought of yet. Yeah. Like things that they haven't been able to in the past because it didn't follow the right formulas.
Yeah. That's something so beautiful to like wrap everything up. I think when music gets introspectives, a lot of people benefit from it, even the artist. And I think the whole industry as a whole, when you set a standard like that, like people are willing to, you know, drop all the stereotypical things they know about music or a specific genre and like move on from that. That's a really interesting thought. I love that, Jace. Thank you for that.
I feel that like we're coming into like an artistic renaissance again. And people are more creative than ever right now. They've had way more time to reflect, and that's going to lead to a lot of beauty. So
that's so beautiful.
But yeah, an artist that I noticed released a very nostalgic, introspective song quite recently is Paige Rutledge. She released a song late last year that really just felt like summer and sunshine and my childhood specifically. Luckily, we got the chance to interview her and ask her more about that song, as well as her upcoming releases, which I am super excited to hear. So yeah, here is our interview with Paige Rutledge. So hey everyone, we're here with Paige Rutledge, and we are super excited to have her on the podcast today.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you on our podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's like the perfect day, Friday, recording a podcast on Friday. Who?
Yeah.
No better Friday, if you ask me.
It's the best way to end the week.
I agree. Exactly, right?
So the first question we have for you, Paige, is what really got you into music?
Yeah. It's kind of a sad-ish story, I guess, but I always try to, I don't know. I enjoy telling this story because I think it's just a very big part of who I am. But so I've always loved country music and singing specifically, and like Shania Twain, some of my earliest memories of being so younger. And it's funny because around my house, we have like all the old photo albums or whatever. And if you open the photo albums, I guess I got a karaoke machine when I was super little. So it's usually just me putting on a concert for my family. And I was like super like Disney Princess and Lizzie McGuire, and just everything revolved around music and performing. So I always loved it, but I had this really special place for country music. And so my grandpa, my brother and I spent a lot of time with my grandparents growing up because both my parents work evenings. So school ends, whatever, you go to your grandparents' house. And my grandpa loved, I'm like hesitant. I'm like, is there someone who loves Shania Twain more than me? Probably my grandpa. So he had all of the Shania Twain CDs at that time. And we used to, I'll never forget, we used to sing and dance, and he built me a stage at our cottage, and he used to like play his music and play Charlie Pride, which I would go turn off to put on Shania Twain. So I was like, no, like we're listening to Shania Twain. So it was like kind of this special thing that him and I had was music and country music. And I just remember being at their house growing up, listening to country music. Like with some of my earliest, you know, thinking back on everything, when people ask you to reflect, you're like, how did I get here? And I'm like, that's the moment. So when he passed away, or he got really sick when I was young, I was 9. And so he used to ask me to come over and sing to him to make him feel better. And I would sit in the little bedroom with YouTube open, like doing YouTube karaoke for him. Cause I was like, I got this. At 9 years old, you're like, this is how you perform. And when he passed away, I asked my parents if I could sing at the funeral. And they were kind of like, where is this coming from? Like, and I don't know. I honestly, like, I can't go back and tell you what overcame me, but I was like, this is what I need to do. Like, this is the moment that I know, like, he would want this from me. And I think that I don't even know if I knew it at this time, but I think I realized how impactful music can be and how just, you know, it's there. It's something that really brings us all together, and it gets you through the hardest times in your life. It also gets you through the best times in your life. And since that moment, and I know it's a really sad moment, and it's one of those things where you're like, oh, you wish those things didn't happen in your life. But then again, I'm always like, what if that didn't happen? Maybe I wouldn't have found my love for music it that way. So it's a really sad story how I got into music, but it's also very personal and something I hold close because of the way I got into music. And so, yeah, I guess that's, and then here I am. I asked my parents after that. I was like, can I take singing lessons? Can I take guitar lessons? I was like, please just put me in absolutely everything. And I got into songwriting pretty quickly after that, because I knew I wanted to write my own songs and I knew I wanted to perform. So any bar or like any place that would let me play, I like begged my parents to take me there. And I remember sitting in bars at like 14, 15 with my dad, because obviously I wasn't allowed to be in there, playing like open mics or anywhere that would let me play, and like having to sit with my dad. I'm like, this is so lame, but like, you know, it's all those moments. And so I'm very thankful for my journey that I've had so far. And although, like I said, it was a sad one to kind of start everything, it's, you know, it's gotten me where I am. And I think it's made me a stronger person and have this like appreciation for what music can really do for people.
Yeah, for sure. It sounds like he inspired you a lot. And
Yeah, absolutely. And I really like when I think about him specifically, and I know there's a lot of people who have lost people, and you know, those are some of the toughest moments in our life, I think, are what like are those pivoting moments and change our direction or help us figure out like what is the next step that we want to take in life. Cause you realize life's short and all those things that they tell you, but it's really true.
So after you like were performing everywhere and you were growing this love for music, what started you on your journey of releasing your own?
Oh, I knew right away that when I was younger, oh my gosh, it's so embarrassing. I still have all my notebooks, like the little diaries that you keep by your bed. I was writing song lyrics in those. I guess that was my way of like writing about boys in elementary school or writing about friendships was in song lyrics. And so I look back and I'm like, oh God, those are so, so bad. But I actually released my first song when I was 11 and it's only on YouTube, thank God, and I can never get it down because it's not on my account, unfortunately. But if people dig hard enough, it's there. It is the most classic 11-year-old song you've ever heard. But I always knew that I have a lot to say all the time. Like, I love to talk. I have a lot going on, and I really love to share experiences and like connect with people through music. So I knew I wanted to write songs and knew that like that was going to be my way of kind of connecting with people. And it's writing music and just recording music has allowed me to meet so many people now, especially throughout the pandemic, like around the world. And that's, I think that's really cool. But so I got, I guess like my first like real single release, like in a studio recorded with the producer, everything, not so much when I was 11, when I did it with my vocal teacher, but still a very important process. But I was 16 and I recorded with, at Mono Road Records with a man named Michael Saracini, who has been one of the most probably like important people in my career, just because he taught me so much. And I was so young, thinking I knew, obviously at 16, you think you know everything that's going on. Meanwhile, if I look back now, I would tell 16-year-old Paige, I'd be like, whoa, take a step back. Like, we should do baby steps. But that was a great experience. And so it was just, it was my guitar teacher actually at the time who introduced me to him. And then there was like this really cool hockey family connection that we never even knew about. So then we were just like, wow, like this is a perfect kind of click right away. And I did I did a lot of songs with him. I don't even know, we did 2 EPs and 3 single releases all between like me being 16 and I guess like 16 and 20 is when I was working with him. And then yeah, because I guess like shortly after that, how long have we been in this pandemic? 2 years,
huh? Yeah.
So yeah, probably about that time, maybe like 21. That's crazy. So yeah, that was like the start of my recording. Now I'm very fortunate. I guess I feel like I should elaborate now what I'm doing recording, but now I'm pretty fortunate that my cousin, Alex DeMauro, he's in a super, super awesome band. They're from Ontario as well, Valley. And so him and I work together, which is great. And we've turned our cottage into a little recording studio. So between our houses and our cottages, we just make our own music because that's kind of what we had to do. We had to transition somehow during the pandemic. And, you know, if you're trying to do music as a career, you can't just not release music. Like there is, that makes it a little bit tricky. So we turned our cottage into a recording studio and that's what we've been doing since.
That's really true. It's really important to like put out music no matter what. So it's really important to also like make your catalog and, you know, listeners have something to look forward to every time. So you mentioned like you've turned your cottage into a recording studio. So I was like wondering, what's your creative process when you make new music?
For me, it's interesting because I know some people have like a very like strict routine on what they need. I kind of approach everything a little bit differently depending on who I'm working with. I'm definitely the type of person that feeds off other people's energy in sessions. So especially when I go into a writing session, and I mean, I have a lot of energy all the time because I'm a very passionate person, but I really try to go in like with the energy I want people to have from me. Cause I just feel like if you're really vibing with somebody, you're going to get a product of some sort, right? Because if you're bouncing ideas off each other. And I think setting the tone right away is very important. And I feel like that is always my mindset going into a writing session or a recording session, is like, how can I, like, what am I bringing today? And so, but like, I guess like creative process wise, my favorite thing to do is I always turn on my Christmas lights, light my candles, get in the mode, always, always have a tea or a nice coffee with me because caffeine fuels creativity, which is probably bad. Don't believe that message. Just that's what I say to myself. That's probably really bad, but that's okay. You know what? Every other person I write with is also drinking coffee, so it's fine.
Yeah, I know caffeine fuels everything in my life.
I had to say that.
Coffee is good, but drink in moderation.
Very good. Drink in moderation. That's the key.
Yeah, that sounds like an awesome song process or writing process. Just bringing up inspiration from everywhere. I know earlier you mentioned like Shania Twain, of course. Do you have any other musical inspirations?
Oh, so many. I have so many for different reasons too. Like, I feel like I'm a huge, huge fan of female country music. And I think there's a lot of women out there doing incredible things current day. And obviously I'm a huge advocate for it because that is what I am pushing for. But Shania Twain is probably just like my biggest influence, mostly for the fact that I'm like, she's Canadian. And I feel like that's just really cool to see a Canadian woman like breaking so many boundaries in the industry and, you know, being like, you say I can't do this, but no, like, and then Shania goes out and does it. And you're like, what? Dolly Parton is one of my absolute favorite writers ever. I think she's an incredible songwriter and she just has this way of telling a story. And so I've never seen Dolly Parton live. She is on my list to do, just like, I need to see Dolly Parton one day. I have a sparkly guitar that I did last year for a single release to like match the music video. And somebody, like an audience member one time at a writer's band I was playing, was like, you should name your guitar Dolly. And I was like, ah, so now my guitar's name is Dolly. I also think Dolly Parton is just an incredible human. Like, go Dolly, so unproblematic, just out there living her best life, giving back to the world. She's a great person. I love just so many other artists too. Carrie Underwood's a phenomenal performer. I think Maren Morris and Kacey Musgraves are also just badass women in the industry right now that like any girl can look up to. And obviously Taylor Swift, because who doesn't? Who doesn't love Taylor? And when I look back at the songs I was writing when I was 16 and a little bit younger, like when Taylor Swift was like really, really just making waves, they're all just like rip off of Taylor Swift songs. I'm like, you can't have that lyric. Taylor did it first, Paige. But thought I could at the time.
So you were talking about your songs, and do you have a favorite song that you've released so far? And if yes, then why?
I guess it's funny because my friends have this debate all the time of like what their favorite Paige Rutledge song is, and I don't know if I can pick a favorite. I don't know, the stuff that I'm releasing this year, we just finished up the first single that's going to come out this year, which will be like mid-March, and then after that it's just like a whole bunch of releases from there. And I don't know if I have a favorite song. I have a couple for like different reasons. There's a song that I'm putting out this year called Gone Ain't Really Gone towards the end of the year, that I wrote specifically, like I told the story about my grandpa dying, and I came across, my dad told me a story this Christmas about an old truck he used to drive. And it like really triggered me to, I was like, wow, like that's a country song in itself. So that song is very personal that I'm putting out, and I played it at a few writers rounds. I'm like, I can barely make it through the song. And I look at all the audience members and they're crying. And I'm like, ah. So I feel like that's like a favorite in the sense where I'm like, this is the most vulnerable song, I guess, that I'm putting out. But all of the songs that we have lined up for 2022, they're all just like, each time I get more excited about what the next song is I'm going to release. And I'm always like, oh, my current single is my favorite. So the song that is coming out in March is probably, aside from Gone Ain't Really Gone, will be my favorite one out, just because it's a little bit different. And the people that I have shown are just like, wait, what? And I'm like, I know, it's cool. It's different. It's fun to be different. Because I feel like I've had this very, and that is like truly me. The single that's coming out after is a direct reflection of kind of my personality again, as my last couple singles have been. So this one coming out's a little bit different. So I'm excited for that. It's probably my favorite right now, just because it is so different.
That's so true. Like, as an artist, you always like the track that you're working on right now, you know. Yeah. And that's like the best track that you've worked on.
Hopefully that should be the mindset, I think. Yeah. Right, like, you should be putting out, and the way I always look at it too, every single release that I do, I want to love it more than my last one. And if I don't, then I need to go back and revisit, why don't I love it as much as the last one? Because I should be excited putting out new music. I want, like, if I'm not excited, how can I expect other people to be excited? And I want everything to be like a true reflection of me. And so I really, really think about everything that I'm releasing. And that goes into my thought process with everything. So this next one is very different. Not, I'm saying different, but it's still very true to me, but it's just a new side of me that people haven't seen yet, which is kind of cool.
That's so awesome. You're so full of energy. Like, I can't imagine the next song.
Thank you.
Before this interview, I was actually listening to your last release, Summer Sunshine.
Oh, yeah, Sunshine Sunday.
Oh, yes.
I love that song. I really love that song. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
That's a great one. That's a fun one. That's my favorite one probably to play live. We always open every set with that song. And it's cool. Like, you know, and we wrote that on a really rainy day. And it was on Zoom because it was in April 2020 when we wrote it. And we're like, wow, the world sucks. But we're like, you know what doesn't suck? Summer and being with your friends. And I just feel like we really accomplished what we were trying to say in that song. And like the song just came to life so quick. It was great.
Yeah, it was so nostalgic for me. I live in like a small country town. So like hearing like the bare feet in the swimming pool, I was like, that was me in August.
Like, that was me. Yeah, we tried to find, we're like, what can we pull that's like so real that people are going to relate to? So that just made my whole day that lyric related to you. So thank you.
And I'm glad the song made mine. So
thank you.
So Paige, I have one more question for you. What excites you the most about country music, or in future, are you willing to like merge with other genres to create something new?
Yeah, what excites me about country is there's this new, well, okay, I don't know if new is the right word, but I guess it's more popular now for, there's like more of a crossover between different genres in country music, which we're hearing. And I think that's really cool that people are so willing to explore. And I know that happens in other genres too, but obviously like I pay most attention to it happening in country music. And I think that's really cool that we're having all this, you know, that people are open to exploring, maybe adding a little bit more pop elements or, you know, just like changing it up. And I'm also really excited. Excited just for the future, but there's women are really starting to take a stand in country music. And I obviously, as I said earlier, I'm a huge advocate for that as I enter into this industry and be a part of this industry. So I just think it's exciting for what's going to come in country music. But my favorite thing is how just like experimental people are getting and, you know, the rules. I hate using that term because I don't know if like rules is the right word, but you know, whatever I guess we had in the past is being so explored. And I think that's really cool because music should be creative. Like you should be, you shouldn't be trapped in a box when you're making music. So, and I feel like that notion of like being in a box is like going further and further away that people are being more experimental and trying things. Yeah.
Now people are like experimenting with like new genres that are merging different things. It's no longer just about one genre or just one style of music because that's not really creative. Where you're like making rules for yourself for your music, I don't think that's a good way to go. So I'm really liking what you're putting out here, you know, and your creative mindset. It's that's what we need in the music industry today.
I agree. And just like, I know some of the people that I'm fortunate enough to write with are just like that I played shows with, and the creativity and just like talent of the people around me. Like, how can you not be inspired by that? Like, it literally pushes you to be the best version, like, or the best artist, I guess, or writer, like that you can be. And I think that's inspiring. And the people I get to work with, I'm excited to see where they go and how like we can push each other and be in this industry together. And I think just there's a lot of cool stuff coming up. There's so many, like we just said, there's no rules in music or creativity. And I think that's going to change a lot of things. And I'm just excited to see what people do and what I am able to do in the future. And just here's to new music always.
That's a great way to end this off. Be excited for the future. We look forward to hearing what you put out next.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm really excited to like, now that you've told us about it, like I'm so really excited to listen.
Gosh. I'm 2022. I'm really looking forward to this year. January is interesting. I know all of us are kind of going through it together, being like, what is happening right now? But I'm very optimistic for what is going to come for the rest of this year. And so that's what I'm channeling my music mind with and personal life with. And so I'm very excited to share what I have.
Awesome. Well, thank you so, so much for
Having me. Everything for me is at Paige Rutledge, all social media, just my name, Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, Amazon, YouTube, wherever you listen to your music. Everything is just Paige Rutledge.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us in this episode of MBM Vault. We had an interesting conversation, and I hope you liked the interview that we did with Paige, and we'll see you next week. Don't forget to follow our socials at Ambient Vault. That's where we post all our interviews and updates, so make sure to follow us on that.